Thank you very much. I got really blessed, and I got two titles for future teachings from his teaching. Just things that he said that, you know, that blessed me, you know, with the integrity of the word. And another definition for integrity is completeness, and how he read in Timothy that the man of God should be furnished, thoroughly outfitted. Makes us complete like that. We must believe that God means what he says, and he says what he means, and that's for sure. This morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to share on the subject of having our needs and wants parallel, having our needs and wants parallel. And one of the things we must realize is that once we know the Word of God, it is then our job to never let anyone talk us out of God's Word. No one should talk us out of God's Word. You don't ever let anybody touch God's Word in your life. You must protect the Word in your life, for it is the Word that will protect you. And once you let someone touch God's Word in your life, then the adversary can come in and do all kinds of things that he would not have been able to do had you held on to the integrity of God's Word. That's one of the reasons I was so blessed by his teaching, is because he reminded us of the basics. And we all fail on the basics. You won't fail on, you know, the advanced whatever. People fail because they neglect the basics and being faithful to continue in the basics, because that's what builds strength and character in an individual's life. So we have to protect God's Word. And that makes a hard decision sometimes for us, because sometimes we have to stand against our spouse. Sometimes we have to stand against our family. Sometimes we have to stand against our government or our most favorite political party. You know, what's more important to you, the Republican Party or God's Word? The Democratic Party or God's Word? I can remember ticking people off because I said something bad about the Republican Party because they said something stupid about God. You know, I say the same thing about the Democrat Party. Don't matter. God's number one. God's one, and that's what he has to be. We have to stay put on the Word. We learned that to receive anything from God, we must search the Scriptures. That's where the answers to what we want in life according to God are. They're in the Scriptures, and we just heard this song about searching the Scriptures, and that's true. As you begin to study God's Word, you will see that there are certain keys, fundamental principles in God's Word that teach us how to receive. And we've been taught in the past, and I believe it's been accurate, five keys on how to receive anything from God. Now, there may be more and there may be variations, but I think the basic keys were these: to find out what's available, then you have to know what to do with it after you receive it. Then you have to have know that God's willingness equals God's ability. You have to have your need and want parallel. And what's the last one? How to receive it. I know they're out of order, but they're the basic five keys. I'll give them to you in a little bit more of a concise and structured order in a minute. But they're the keys that we've learned and keys that we can apply so that we can receive these things from God. They are fundamental and they are in God's Word. And again, they're the basics. They're the basics. The first thing that we've learned is that we must find out what's available. This is foundational. However, if we expect to manifest a certain promise of God, we have to be able to understand that that promise is a promise of God. See? And the only way you can find out what is available is to go to the Word of God and to rightly divide it. There's another thing. We did not talk about our teachings. You know, I asked him, I gave him a subject and said, would you like to share on this? But a lot of the things, what he said, he was just so dead on. Because it's not just simply going to the Word and reading the Word, because anybody can do that, but you must rightly divide the Word. And it's only when we rightly divide the Word will we then stand approved before God in our workmanship of the Word. See, we stand approved before God by the blood of Jesus Christ spiritually, Because if we stood approved before God by work, then it'd be of works and not of grace, lest anybody could what? Boast. But we stand approved before God in our workmanship, whether we rightly divided that word or didn't. See, the precise example the doctor uses, a carpenter getting those joints up. He says if they're this far apart, he wouldn't be standing approved in his workmanship, right? Because now if that was me, that would be good. But not if it's Rob. It's bad. So the only way that we can find out what's available is to go to the Word of God and rightly divide it. And then, and only then, will you have the truth in regards to what's available. Remember, Ken taught us it's the integrity of the Word. And what you must remember is that it's the integrity of the Word that's always in stake. So we have to know the Word in order to allow the Word to have the final say, the only say, in our decisions. We never put man's opinion above God's Word. You'll never know if man is right or if man is wrong with regards to his observations unless we have something to check it against, and that which we need to check it against is God's Word. What are we going to use as a gauge to see whether we have truth or error? We need something that has to have the final say. And that has to be God's Word. God's Word has to be our gauge. See? I have here cute little weapons. They're weapons, I guess you can make them. But you know what these are? Maybe you do. Maybe most of you probably don't. It's got a red on this side. It's got a green on this side. This is called a go, no-go gauge. That simple. It's a go, no-go gauge. And a go, no-go gauge is an inspection tool. And it's used to check a piece of work for tolerances. Its name is derived from the test that you use with the gauge. You see, if I want to see if my finger is up to specs, I put it here, and if it goes to there, to the first thing, it's a go. But this side of it is smaller, and it won't go that far. See? These are given to people on production lines, and every so often, periodically, it'll take and they'll check something to make sure it works here. But the significant thing about this gauge is that it's a two-test gauge. It's not just, it fits. It has to fit, but it also has to be rejected. So that puts it within the specifications of that tolerance. You understand it? It's two tests, not just, it fits, but, it's there. You got to use both sides of this gauge. So we're going to, here you go. Pass it around so you can, don't get your finger stuck in it like a Chinese. That's a go, no-go gauge. One's a fail, one's a pass. A go, no-go gauge is a measuring tool that does not return a size in a conventional sense, but in turn it returns a state. It reports the state, and it either passes or it doesn't. The state is either acceptable, and it's within tolerance, so it can be used, or it's unacceptable, and it must be rejected. Now, anybody can be taught to use that. Understand? And that's what blesses me about a go, no-go gauge, because I can teach any one of you in here within inside of 1 minute how to use it. Now, you may not understand millimeters, and you may not understand measurements in precise increments as thousands and hundreds of thousands, this sort of thing. But what you do understand is that if you put this green end on here, and it fits, and you turn the red end, and it goes to a certain point, and it doesn't fit, that my finger is a go. Now, are there intricate definitions and geometry associated with the go, no-go gauge? Absolutely. The metal that it's made out of, you know, the adjustments of it, et cetera, et cetera. I knew I shouldn't have passed that around. People go, just don't try and put it on your nose, okay? And you can get real precise with these things. But you don't have to be real precise to know if it works or if it's not. And what blesses me about that is that God's word's like that. Reverend Pakinowski taught us that God's word is simple. Now, there are nuances and intricacies of God's word in Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic and the such. And they're wonderful. But you don't have to know those nuances to know if God's word works or not. If you have common sense and a heart for God, you'll know whether something is right or wrong. You'll know whether it's a go or a no-go. It's that simple. You know what that means? That puts God's word in the grasp of the youngest child. And if you let someone try to convince you that you need this, this, and that in order to walk on God's word and live an abundant life and glorify God, don't listen to that crap. All you got to do is have a heart for God and search the scriptures and be faithful, and God will bless you. He'll bless you. Now, does that mean that we snub our nose at our wonderful, brilliant, theological men that are scholars? Absolutely not. We praise God for them. Praise God that they have the ability to do that stuff, and I got the ability to read it. Right? So, the Word of God, the Word of God is our only go, no-go gauge, period. Not what people say about the Word. The Word of God, rightly divided and presented, is our only go, no-go gauge. We must check what people say against the Word, for only then can we be absolutely sure that it is, in fact, available from God's Word. So, for instance, someone propounds the theory that God uses sickness and disease to humble people, to make people meek so he can teach them a certain lesson. Okay, well, that's what's the theory. That's what a preacher teaches. This is what you can hear on many of the major Christian stations, many of the major TV stations in Christianity, that God will use this, God, this sickness he's using to build a better Christian out of you, to make you meek, to teach you a lesson, etc. So what we have to do is we have to take that theory and we have to take it to the Word and see if the Word returns a go or a no-go on it. The Word is the gauge that we're going to use to see if that theory is accurate. So how do we prove this theory? Well, we go to this with Scriptures. And we want to see if the Scriptures give us a green or give us the red on this theory. Exodus 15:26 says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Does that sound like, God would be contradicting himself. He doesn't make people sick just so he can go and heal them because he doesn't have enough to do and run in the universe, right? Psalm 103:3 says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. See, this isn't starting to sound like a God who makes people sick. On the contrary, it sounds like a God, and it is a God, who makes people well, who doesn't like sickness, who heals people. Psalm 30, verse 2 says, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Thou hast healed me. So we're beginning to take what man propounds, and he says, this is available from God. This sickness is from God. He's using it to humble you. He's using it to test you. He's using it to make a better Christian out of you. And we begin to see that the Word of God teaches us the direct opposite. So our primary and preliminary indication is that this is a no-go, right? This is on the red side. It's a no-go. Doesn't fit the green, doesn't fit the red. It's got to be thrown out. Psalm 107, verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions, from their destructions. Again, we see that what we're reading from the Scriptures contradicts the Word of God. All right. Now, the people who teach that it's available for God to make one sick, to humble them or to prove them, do they pass the go, no-go test? With the Word as the standard? No, they don't. They don't line it up. So we have to reject that teaching because it's not accurate with the Word of God. You see how this works? This is why we must be workmen of the Word and rightly divide the Word if we expect God to bless our workmanship and to bless our ministry. So we have been taught to receive anything from God, the first thing that we must know is what's available. And the only place that we can go to know what is available is where? To the Word, and it rightly divided. Remember how Ken taught us about that guy who said, man shall not live by bread alone. And he went to the Word, but did he rightly divide it? No. Sure. Next, we need to know how to receive it. We find out what's available, then we need to know how to receive it. And the how to receive it is to believe and to act accordingly on the revealed Word of God. The how to receive is to believe and act accordingly on the revealed Word of God. And this is one of the keys you need to understand in order to understand where we're going further. What is the revealed Word of God? For the most part, this. But the revealed Word of God encompasses more than just this book. The revealed Word of God to you may be something that someone spoke to you in a counseling situation or in a fellowship situation. The revealed Word of God to you may be something that God showed you by way of revelation, but that's for you. Understand? So the how to receive is that we believe and then we act accordingly on the revealed Word of God. We act accordingly on the Bible, on that which was spoken to us and we recognize it as the Word of God, or that which was revealed to us and we recognize it as the Word of God. Then we act. That's how we receive. Thirdly, we need to know what to do with it after we got it. You know, how to walk in the abundance of what we receive, the proper usage of the blessing of God. In other words, if God delivers us from a drug or an alcohol problem, what do we do with that deliverance after we receive it from God? Do we go back to the bar room? If God delivers us from a drug addiction, do we go back and hang out with our old junky friends? These people, these places are empowering our weaknesses. These things, these places, these people are activating, are energizing, are encouraging, are flaring up the strongholds in our minds with regards to these problems that we once had. Is this what you do with it after you receive it? If, in fact, you receive deliverance in a drug addiction or alcohol? No, it's not. This is why, usually, when I teach a seminar, I'll end the teaching. The last teaching of that series will be how to maintain your deliverance, how to maintain your healing. I don't do it because I got an extra CD and it says 10 CD pack. So I said, well, what can I put in here to fill it up? I do it because after once you learn these things and you apply these things, you need to know how to continue to walk in these things and retain the freedom and the blessing that God gives to you. That's why I do it. Well, so we need to know what to do with it after we got it. We find out what's available, then we find out how to receive it. Go to the Word of God, believe, act accordingly on the revealed Word, whatever manner that is to us. And then we have to know what to do with it after we receive it. We take it, we protect it, we guard it, we walk the way that God wants us to walk. And the next key that we've learned on how to receive anything from God is that we have to have our needs and our wants parallel to the Word of God. Our needs and our wants have to be parallel to the Word. And we're going to come back to this particular key in a minute, but for now I'd like to remind you of the last key that we were taught, and that is that God's willingness equals God's ability. We were taught that God's willingness equals God's ability. And we were given wonderful examples when we were taught. For instance, if you asked me for $5 and I didn't have $5, I said, I would like to help you, but I don't have $5. See, I'm willing to help you, but I don't have the ability to help you. But then if you asked me for $5 and I did have it, and I said, well, I have $5, I'm not going to give it to you, though, then, you see, I have the ability, but I'm not willing to do it. But with God, this is never true. This is what we've been taught. And, you know, generally speaking, for the most part, that's an accurate statement. But in light of the big picture and in light of the compassion and the love of God and the overall picture, there's been times in the Word of God where God's willingness does not equal His ability. You will remember when Jesus Christ was in the garden. Jesus Christ prayed unto the Father. What did He pray? He said, Father, if thou be what? Willing, have this cup removed from me. You see? God, that must have broke God's heart. He had to make a decision. He knew what Jesus was going to go through. He knew what His Son had asked for. And up until that point, His answer to His Son was always there. But you know what? God had to look at the big picture. And He saw all of us. Right? And you think that you're nobody, and you think that you're a failure, and you think that you're worthless. God had to say to His Son, no, I can't. I'm not willing to do that. Because there's more at stake here than just you. And His Son knew that, and His Son was fine with that. You understand? But what type of price does that put on your life? How valuable are you to God? But when it comes to blessing us, God's willingness does equal His ability. He's always willing to do what He says He will do in His Word, according to His Word. According to His Word. The New Jerusalem Bible of 2 Corinthians 9:8 reads like this: God is perfectly able to enrich you in every grace so that you always have enough for every conceivable need, and your own resources will overflow into all kinds of good work. You know what that means practically for the believer? If God is able, then the believer is able. That's what that verse is telling us. If God is able, then He has made you able. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You know, you think you're at a bad place in your life. You think everything's falling apart. You think there's no answers. I want to tell you something. People have been at that place before, and God knows about it. And His answer is, God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way for you to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Do you know what this means practically to anyone who's a believer? God is able. It means you're able. What does it mean practically to anyone who endeavors to serve in the body of Christ? Who is called as a servant. Look at 2 Corinthians for a moment here. This I'd like you to read with me. See, if God's worked in your heart, if God's called you, and He's placed you in a position where He wants you to serve, these verses are gold. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Our sufficiency is of God. See, when you start to walk in the power of your own life, knowledge, and ministry, that's when you start to walk downhill. Verse 6, who, God, also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. If God is able, He makes His ministers what? See, if we would believe this and act accordingly, we'd be able to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, and we would be able to manifest that which the Word of God says we ought to be manifesting on our lives. God has made us able ministers. That's why no minister should fail. Ministers fail when they turn away from God and start walking in their own enablements. But if we walk in what God has enabled us in, we will never fail. We just need to stay put on the Word and listen to God. So what have we learned? It's still true. The greatest secret in the world today is that the Bible is a revealed word and will of God. We saw that once we learn the word of God, we don't let anybody talk us out of the word of God. We saw that in order to receive anything from God, we must first search the scriptures. And then we reviewed the five keys on how to receive anything from God. We first learned that we need to know what is available. And in order to do this, we need to have something to check it against. And what is our only go, no-go gauge? The word, right? Then we saw the next key was how to receive. And the how to receive is to believe and act accordingly on the revealed word and will of God via the written word, the spoken word, or the received word. The received word. Then thirdly, we looked at what to do with it after we get it. How to maintain our healing, how to maintain our deliverance, how to continue to walk in the freedom which God has set us free in Christ Jesus and enjoy the liberty. You don't go back and be entangled again with the junk, right? That's not how to do it. That's not what to do with it after you get it. If God is gracious to bless you and free you, you don't go back to the muck and mire of the world, do you? No. Next, we briefly mentioned that our needs and wants must be parallel with the scriptures. And it's here that I like to explain this particular key a little bit better and a little bit further as I understand it now in my life and ministry. I believe that for many people, if you were to ask them, what does it mean to have your need and want parallel, you would get several different answers. It's pretty easy to understand what's available. That's pretty simple. You go to the Word, you see what's available. It's pretty simple to understand how to receive it. You believe and you act accordingly. You can grasp the concept of what to do with it after you got it. You don't want to waste the gift of God. You want to maintain it in a godly fashion. And understanding that God is able and willing to bless you is pretty readily available and easy to understand as you go through the scriptures, because you can see time and time again that God is faithful and he will do what he said he will do. But out of all the keys that we learned, for me at least, I think that I misunderstood or didn't understand as much, as comprehensively as I did the other keys. And so I endeavored to clarify this for me so that I may present it to clarify it for you. And it wasn't until I was sitting with Reverend Pakanowski some weeks ago that we were talking about these things, and he said something to me that a light bulb went off in my mind. It helped me. And then I just went to the Word and I began to review the Word in light of understanding the Word in light of what we were talking about. God is always willing to give us the answers that we need. And if you're faithful to work the keys, he'll give them to you. If your heart is, you want to help people. If you just want to know the answers to trivial questions, you know, I don't know that God's going to do anything for you if you want to be a big shot. But if you want to help people, he'll give you the answers. And it says that he made you an able minister. So he's got to fulfill his word in your life. He's not a liar, right? God is not a man that he should lie. We heard that earlier too, right? So he's got to fulfill his word in your life. So if you believe that and then you do what you need to do, you do your part, and then God will do what? His part, sure. What does it mean to have your needs and wants parallel? You see, a person can have a great need. Let's say a person, and this is an example, I'll give you several of them if one offends you. Pick one that doesn't then. But say a person has a great need of healing in their life. The person has an ongoing sore throat and short of breath, heavy breathing, hard breathing. For years this has been going on, and it's starting to bother a person. They're coughing a lot. They're hacking a lot. They're bothered by this. Let's assume that the individual realizes that they have this need. Let's assume that the individual realizes that they don't feel their best. that they don't feel good. Now, in order for the individual to receive anything from God, and in this case, what they want to receive from God is healing, the individual learns the five keys. Now the individual is going to apply the five keys. The first key was what's available. I am the Lord that healeth thee. So it's available to get healed of this problem. The second key is how to receive it. Mark 11:24 says, you desire whatsoever things, pray, believe that you receive them, you shall what? Have them. You believe the word of God, then you act accordingly. The third thing, what do I do with this after I get it? You be thankful and you maintain your healing. In a particular record, in a particular specific case, John 5, verse 14, Jesus ministered to someone with regards to the subject of what do I do with it after I got it. He went out and he found the man in the temple and he said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. That was in that particular specific record. In other words, you got delivered from alcohol, you got delivered from drugs, go out and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. That's what you do with it after you get your deliverance. So we take the next key. God's willingness equals God's what? Ability. We can back that up pretty readily with Romans chapter 4, verse 21. Being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So we don't have too many problems with that because God has a faithful track record of history from Genesis to Revelation proving that he's a faithful God and he can be trusted and that he'll do what he says he will do. Now that's 4 out of 5, but we still haven't received. And specifically, we want to receive healing for this problem that we have. The last thing we need to do and apply, if these keys are to be accurate and work in our life, is that we need to have our needs and our wants parallel according to the Word. What Word? The written Word, the spoken Word, or the revealed Word by revelation? Have your needs and wants parallel. The individual acknowledges that they are in need of healing. They are manifesting these symptoms. So they go and they counsel with someone. Or maybe they don't counsel with someone at all. Maybe they just go and they pray about it. Okay? However, in this case, if the revealed word to that individual is to stop smoking, now we get into the real heart of the matter. Because we have to have our needs and wants parallel with the Word of God. What is the Word of God? It's the revealed Word of God, it's the spoken Word of God, or the written Word of God. If the person's praying and says, Father, I got this problem, it's bothering me, what is going on? And God impresses upon that person's heart, well, you know what? Get rid of them cigarettes. Okay, now, is that individual's need and want going to be parallel? In other words, is that person willing to do what God has instructed him or her to do through the Word of God in order to gain the deliverance or to receive the promise of God in their life? This is what happens. All right, so you don't like that example. Let me give you another one. What happens if an individual is sick, manifesting symptoms, but has a whole bunch of bitterness and unforgiveness in their heart, and they refuse to let it go? Okay? Pick whatever disease you want. Ulcers, stress, eye problems, this will cause them all. But what happens if you got bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart and you don't want to let it go because you think you got a right to hang on to your anger? See, they may be in need of healing. However, they don't want to line up their want to the Word. And in this case, the Word of God is what? Forgive. They don't want to do that. They need healing, but they don't want to do what is necessary to what? Receive healing. You see, you may need healing. You may even want healing. But unless you line up your needs and wants according to the Scriptures, you may not receive your healing from God. Say you refuse to forgive, and God's word to you, whether it's by the book, by a person speaking it to you, or by your answer to your prayer is, forgive. You need healing, but you don't want healing according to the standards of God. You want healing according to your standards. You know what you want? You want Burger King, so you can have it your way. God don't work at Burger King or McDonald's. If he worked in any of the two, he'd work at McDonald's. But God don't work at Burger King. You can't have things your way. You can't go to God and start dictating terms on how you want to receive what you want to receive. You understand? That's not the way it works. In other words, your needs and wants are not parallel with the Word of God. Now let me take you another step. Do you know what the word parallel means? I thought I did, so I went to a dictionary. And as like so many times in the past, I was wrong. This is what the word parallel means. It means resembling each other. It means relating to two things that are comparable because they are similar and share many characteristics. It means two things are alike. Two things are equivalent. It means that one thing resembles another thing. That's what the word parallel means. If you refuse to forgive, and God's word to you was forgive, are you sharing God's characteristics in your life? Are you resembling God's characteristics in your life? Are you on the same page with God? Are your needs and wants parallel with God? Now, you might have a need, but your want ain't there because it's not parallel. It's not resembling God's will. It's not like God's will. It's not sharing the same characteristics and ideas of God's will, is it? Because you don't want to forgive. You want to walk around like a big grump and hold on to your stupid grudge. Well, hold on to your grudge and hold on to your sickness and hold on to your disease and hold on to your demons too. Because that's what's enabling them. That's what's giving them legal rights to stay there and torment you. Okay? Are your thoughts and God's thoughts alike? If you refuse to forgive, your needs and wants aren't parallel with God. That's not being parallel. Parallel means to be alike. Are you honestly willing to do what God needs you to do without adding, changing, omitting, or redefining His word to you in your life? That's what it is to have your needs and wants parallel. Eve wasn't. She figured she's going to do things her way. There's the first woman that worked at Burger King. I didn't think about that till now. It was Eve. Don't like that example? Now give me another one. Maybe there'll be one in here you'll like and be able to grab. What if you're in need of some type of deliverance? That opens a whole big field up. And what if you even recognize that you got problems going on in your life and that, you know, maybe I might need some deliverance? But do you want deliverance according to God's word? Are you on the same page with God? What if God tells you that you need to go get ministered to? This is God's revealed word to you. He says, you need to go get help. But what happens if you think, I don't need to be ministered to? Or I don't want to be ministered to? Are your needs and wants parallel to God's word for you? Because who don't want to be ministered to? Oh, I got this need. I want help. I want help. I want help. And God says, go do this. And you say, eh. You go back to the table. Make me a second offer. Think about it. Send down a prophet. And you know, is that the best you can do? Can you? Oh, can you just? I don't like this whole ministry thing. Figure out a different way we can accomplish this. That's just what we do with God when we don't have our needs and wants parallel because we want to define what we want, right? That's not good. I got one better than this. What happens if you agree to be ministered to? Oh, when I was young, if I knew this, I'd be fine. But you refuse to come clean before God. But you don't tell the minister that. He just sits there and scratches his head because he's inexperienced. And why isn't this working? The reason why it's not working is because that person is sitting there ain't telling you the truth. And in order to come to God, you got to remember, you got to come to God on his terms. You don't set the terms. You come to God on his terms. This is part of you getting clean. It's not that God needs you to do this for him, because he already knows what's inside of you. He knows the problems you have. You need to do it for you. So you can get a place in your life where you say, you know what, I'm sick and tired of this. We saw last night at the production, at the end, when they came back to Egypt. What did they say when they were confronted to lie? No, we have lied. They learned a lesson, right? They learned their lesson. They lived their life lying, and then finally, they learned their lesson, and they told the truth. That's why. See, it wasn't that God didn't know. It's that he had to get those brothers to a place where they were willing to do it on God's terms. He had to get them to a place where their needs and wants were what? Parallel. You see, you agree to be ministered to, but you don't come clean before the minister. Are your needs and wants parallel? No. Do your needs and wants reflect or display God's will in your life? No, just portions of it. And this is where people who are new to the ministry of deliverance get tricked, they get discouraged, and they walked away because the believer doesn't want to come clean sometimes. I have taught you that when you come to God, you must come to God on his terms. Having your needs and wants parallel means coming to God on his terms. Having your needs and want parallel is trusting in the Lord with all your heart and leaning not to your own understanding. To acknowledge him in all your ways and listen to his and only his direction to the end that you act on it flawlessly. Having your needs and wants parallel is not being a hearer of the word, but being a doer of the word according to God's revealed word for you via the book, the spoken word, or by revelation. Let's look at the other side of this. Let's say you want financial abundance from God, but you don't think you need to give to receive it. Okay, you have a want now, but you don't think you need to do something to receive it. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Galatians 6:7 says, "Don't be deceived, God's not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Give God something to work with. Well, I don't want to. I don't think I need to. It's grace. Okay. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 says, "This I say unto you, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully." If you want abundance from God, you need to do what God says. Verse 7 says, "Every man according to how he's purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." You know what that verse told me? This is what that verse tells me. Your gifts reveal your heart for God. Every man according as he purposes in his heart. It's got nothing to do with tithing or not tithing. It's got everything to do with your heart is being revealed by what you do for God. And this is talking about giving and in other areas too. But finances, we're talking about if you want financial abundance, what do? You see, you have a want. You want financial abundance from God. But your need is not parallel to the word. You think you don't need to do things God's way. You understand? And that's okay. You can do things the world's way, but if you want it from God, God's not going to change his word for you. So for you, this particular promise of financial abundance will not be manifested in your life according to the scriptures because your needs and wants are not parallel. They do not reflect God's will. They are not and do not equal God's word and will in your life. Da-da-da-da. The whiteboard. I have quite an extensive history with whiteboards. Actually, they were blackboards from where I came from with white chalk. Reverend Pakinowski may or may not have experienced this. I must not talk in class. Oh, yeah, lots of them. I must talk. Oh, yeah. Then we had to clap the erasers. I must not eat Cheezos in class. I must do my homework. I must not lie about my dog eating my homework. All kinds of stuff. Did you ever hear of a parallel circuit? There's two basic types of circuits. There's what's called a series, and there's what's called a parallel circuit. A circuit is a total path that energy will travel. That's what a circuit is. Now, pardon my back. Oh, you moved, did you? See that? That's a resistor. Trust me, it's a resistor. This is a circuit. Put a couple resistors in. Let's put a switch in or two. That's the ground. That's the plus. This is a series circuit. Okay? In other words, the electric starts, well, it goes from negative to positive. The electric starts here, and it travels through the resistor, okay, this feeds a light, this feeds a radio, that feeds, crocodile, no, that feeds something, okay? Now, the electric works this way. Now, this is a parallel circuit, negative, positive. The electric starts here and continues to travel this way, but this feeds something, something, something. Now, in series, if this resistor, number two resistor, decides to take a poop, see, the electric's coming along, minding its own business, gets to here, and everybody's happy. And as it goes to number two, it overloads the resistor. So the resistor says, I ain't having none of this. So you know what it does? Breaks. You know what happens to all this? Deep six, no more. That's a series circuit. But a parallel circuit is the juice comes here, and it's able to run here, and it continues on, and it's able to run here, and it's able to run here, and they all interconnect. You see, if this resistor here breaks, this juice is able to go through here, and then it'll go here, and then it'll feed everything down. In other words, it doesn't depend. I'm talking about a battery in a car. If you break this here, this juice will continue to go up through here and go this way. Yeah, it will. Here's a battery. Negative. Here's a battery plus. This follows, maybe it's better like that, okay? If this here has a fuse, there you go, I'll put the fuse there. If this fuse blows out, thank you, this fuse blows out, this radio won't work, but this will continue to travel on to this one, pairs off. You got it? But if this fuse here blows out, then nothing works, because nothing goes. Anyway, the point is this, and it's just a point, it doesn't much matter. But the point is this, in a parallel circuit, now this is I'm reading from real smart people so I know it's accurate. In a series circuit, all the components of the circuit are lined up in a single path so that the current flows through each component in order. Okay? In a parallel circuit, however, there are multiple pathways between the circuit's beginning and end. In other words, there's more than one route. As a result, since the current has more than one route to take, the circuit can still function if one path fails. In other words, down here, if this thing fails, this circuit can still continue to function and feed. That's why you can blow a fuse to your radio and your heater will still work and your air conditioner will still work and your lights will still work, because the juice continues to go and then comes back and cycles through the battery and the whole cycle goes through again. You understand? But if the fuse blew here, which is called a main fuse on a car, that knocks the whole thing down. That's like taking the battery terminal off. Why is that important? I'll tell you why that is important. For me, anyway. Isn't the word of the God, it's so wonderful, it's magnificent? Listen. If our needs and wants are parallel, right? And we receive from God all these things. But what happens when our needs and wants aren't parallel? You know what that means? That means we're not going to receive from God in that particular area of our life. In other words, God doesn't turn his back. He doesn't say our needs and wants are in series. God is not a God that says, you got to do everything, beep, 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 because if you miss in one little area, I'm turning my back on you. No. See here, if we blow it here, if that's tithing, we can still manifest this. We can still manifest this. We can still manifest this. Why is that? Because maybe we understand the word a little bit better in this area. Maybe we haven't grown to the place where we can receive financial abundance in this area. But that doesn't mean that we can't receive wholeness in this area. You understand what I'm saying? God doesn't pull the plug. God doesn't say, I'm cutting everything off until you learn to do this. That's why some people can manifest an abundant life, say in finances, but they don't manifest an abundant life in their marriage. That's why some people can manifest an abundant life, say in health, but they don't manifest an abundant life with regards to their work. That, you understand? But God's will is that you would manifest an abundant life, what? On everything. But God is so loving and God is so gracious that even if we blow it here, if we apply to his principles here, he will bless and he will fulfill his word to us here. Why? Because he's faithful. You understand? He's faithful. Now, he won't change his word for you. It still says if you want to receive abundance from God financially, that you give. That's what the Bible says. He's not going to change his word for you because you're not there. But what he will do is he will love you. He will encourage you. And then when you pray to him and you say, my child's sick, you know what your answer is not going to be? It's not going to be, well, you wanted to receive financially from me, but you didn't do anything, so why should I heal your child? He doesn't work like that. If he worked in series, that's the way he would work. He'd cut off everything. But all these other promises of God are still available to you, the believer, as you approach God and you meet the conditions according to his word. And even sometimes when we don't meet the conditions perfectly, you know what he still does? He has wonderful what? Grace and mercy, right? And this is why, you know, we can manifest whatever we want to manifest. You can believe for and receive and work towards and apply these principles in any area of your life. See? And God doesn't say, nope. As a matter of fact, you know, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord search to and fro over the earth so he can find someone that he can show himself strong for. God is not only willing and able, but God is looking for men and women who want to rise up, who want to try to believe his word, who want to try and walk, just like you with your little kids when they started to walk. You didn't magnify their failures. You didn't magnify how many times they fell or they made a mess or they knocked over your dishes, right? What happened? Two steps, and what did you do? You're on the stupid phone calling everybody that you know. Guess what? Guess who walked? Guess who walked? Guess who walked? You come home. Where's dinner, honey? They ate with dinner. Guess who walked today? Honey, I worked all day. Don't worry about it. Look, come here. I got to show you something. Take a... That's great, honey. Where's dinner? That's how God gets excited about us. He calls the angels again. Hey, we're over here. Come here. We got to do... Come here. Look. You want us to see that?
Yeah, isn't that great?
He walked. He believed me. He tried to promise. Okay. That's our God. See? And that's what we need to do. We need to endeavor to keep our needs and wants parallel. In other words, we have to reflect God's will in our life. And we have to do His word. And then we can endeavor to receive it. So I want to thank all of you this morning for all your love and support. And also, you know, many of the people you won't meet maybe throughout the country that support our ministry faithfully. You know, we have believers. Philip Scott comes to mind in Texas. He's a wonderful believer who faithfully supports us. And you all know Joe Paulo in New Jersey. He comes out once in a while. We have people that, you know, we're blessed to have all over the country, and we're thankful for them. And we're thankful for God. And again, our thanks to Reverend Pakinowski for his wonderful teaching and beautiful wife and daughter and family for the music that they did for us today. And we have dinner for you upstairs. No, we're going to do it downstairs, I think. Lunch. They say dinner somewhere else. And where? We have food. Everybody understands that. So I want to pray. I'm going to bless the food. And then if you guys can help out a little bit, we'll set up and we'll go from there, okay? So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all the love that you've given us. Thank you, Father, for this meal that we can enjoy together as a family. We ask your blessings upon it and for all the people that help prepare it and the workers here. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.